Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
I want to go back to Acts 13, just to get into the text. We see that Saul and Barnabas have been separated into the gospel, and we find God's purpose with Saul in verse 9 when the scripture ceased to call him by his Jewish name of Saul and began him to call him by the Greek name of Paul, which is the translation, because he was no longer going to be preaching only to Jews or the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but was going to, as Christ said when he called him, to be a light to the Gentiles, to turn them from Satan to the power of God, and make this statement before starting, that it is clear the only thing Paul did is what God called him to do and what God enabled him to do. Life must precede action. As Paul was born of the Spirit of God on the road to Damascus, being a natural Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, he was a pattern to those who would believe hereafter of how God would take the dead alien sinner and give him life and send him forth to do the will of God. God causes that. God gives us repentance. God sends us forth. God is always with us. He cannot leave us nor forsake us. Paul was sent forth to preach to the Gentiles, and we understand that as he began this text to the Gentiles, he was speaking in verse 16 of Acts 13. He says, "Men of Israel," that's directed toward the Jews, because the Lord said in Ezekiel 34, speaking of his sheep who had no shepherd, that the sheep of my pasture are men. And he's calling out the men of Israel. "And ye that fear God," that's the elect of God among the Gentiles, to whom God was now manifesting, "that as he did Israel, so did he also choose each and every individual child of God before he ever created the world, in the all-knowing omniscience of God, seeing the end from the beginning, and therefore declaring the end from the beginning." God did not create sin. God did not create anything that was not good and upright, but knowing the fall of man and what would happen to God's children, that God had chosen people, that God himself, the second person of the Godhead, the living Word of God, would come into this world and bear the body of a man in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin, paying for their sins, fulfilling the law of God, and save his people from their sins. Christ himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's the only way. And then he said again in another place that "no man cometh unto me unless the Father which hath sent me draw him." Both of those are in the hand of God. Both are in the power of God. It's all done of God. It's an act of the grace of God. We had absolutely nothing to do with it. While men stand here and tell you in this world that you've got to work to God, or you've got to make a decision, or you've got to have a choice, I'll call your attention to Romans 9, where God said, "For I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." And all the Father gave to the Son of God came into the world and died for, saving them from their sins. Now, Paul begins this discourse with Gentiles present. And he tells them about God and the elect of God, how God chose Israel, manifesting God's right to choose, manifesting God's power to save, manifesting the grace of God for these people. Israel were not genteel, passive people, a nation that walked with God. Yea, in fact, they were sinners. God called Abraham from Haran, the father of many nations, a land of darkness, there in Babylon. Babylon means confusion. That's where we are of our own nature. But God manifested His power to choose a people. That's what we see in Old Testament Israel. God's manifesting. They're a type of the church of God. They're a type of all the elect of God. All Israel is not spiritual Israel. All of Israel's fleshly seed is not of the elect of God. It's plainly taught us that in the New Testament. But God uses it to manifest to us today His power, His right, His purpose, His sovereign majesty to choose those whom He would have mercy upon. He says, the God of this people chose our fathers and He led them through the wilderness. He delivered them from Egypt. He destroyed nations before them when they came into the land of Canaan, the land He promised unto them. He gave them judges about the space of 400 years, spiritual leaders, men who would give this people government by the law of God, but yet they in their own sinful nature desired a king like everybody else. They were not here to be like everybody else. God's people are not here to associate with the things of the world, the devices of Satan, the money, the power, the lust, the hatred, the murder of the unborn, the destruction, looking at today's times of the family. We're not here to be a part of things like that. We're here to be a part in Christ with God and to walk in Christ with God and to magnify Christ in our body. We're not to even give the very appearance of evil, the Bible says. Paul makes this statement to them. They desired a king. He gave them Saul, the son of Cis, who sinned against God, and God removed him, and God gave them the man of their own heart, David, the eighth son of the Ephraimite Jesse of Bethlehem, Judea. And God promised David that upon his seed, this man after God's own heart, whom God called, whom God ordained, whom God chose to be king, that God would always have a descendant of David upon the throne. What this was pointing to, very briefly, was the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, who came forth from the lineage of David in the woman Mary. And His Father being the God, the Holy Spirit. His Father being God, the Father. She was overpowered by the Spirit of God, conceived and brought forth that holy thing which is called the Son of God, which was the living Word, which became flesh and dwelt among us, which was God Himself manifest in the flesh, who sits upon the throne of David. That's an important thing to remember, because David sat on a throne in this world. This throne is speaking of the church and God's assembly and how God gives us life and how God cares for us and rules and reigns with us over sin and death in this world. Christ and Christ alone reigns in heaven in immortal glory. Yes, but that throne is eternal. Christ sits upon it. The throne here, the throne of David, was established of God. It's temporal here in this world. The throne above is eternal, where Christ sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. It was never created. It has always been, because God is eternal. They talked about the coming of John the Baptist and Christ, whom God prepared the way for. This was the discourse He was giving that we stopped during last time we were here. He said in verse 26, men and brethren, there's the Jews, men, my sheep are men and brethren of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, who were of spiritual Israel, that the Word of God was sent to, unto you first, Acts 3 says, unto you first. Jesus said in Matthew 10, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Unto you first is this word said. What word? The preaching of the gospel. The good news, bringing life and immortality to light. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, the seed of the flesh, the elect of God among Abraham's people, and here's the Gentiles, whosoever among you feareth God. Whether you're Chinese, whether you're Japanese, whether you're African, whether you're European, Laban came from the land of Europe. Stop and think about these things. Laban was a white man. That's what the word means, is bright, white. He came from up around Turkey. He's a European man. Whosoever among you feareth God. If you fear God, you're born of God. To know God, you have to be born of God. You cannot come to God. You cannot know God. You're dead in trespass and sin. Dead men cannot get up and walk. Dead men do not need anything. It is all the work of God. It is all the hand of God in Christ. If you fear God among you that feareth God, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent, the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled and condemning him, and they found no cause of death in him, yet they killed him anyway, delivered him to Pilate, they killed him, or he laid his life down, they led him up to be killed, did not have the power to kill him, did not have the authority of God to kill him, yet he laid his life down, but God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. He was seen of many people, of many days, people he chose to reveal himself to. Does that sound like a modern day preacher in this great world that loves mankind? Well, you're a good man. You've got to accept the Lord. That is not what the Bible teaches. He was seen and known of those he was pleased to reveal himself unto. Back to John chapter 5, the Son of Man, that is Christ, quickeneth whom he will. And no one else has life. Who does he quicken? He quickens the children of God at a time when it pleases him to do so. God hath fulfilled the promises which he made to the fathers. God fulfilled the same unto us, their children. And he's raised up Jesus again. As I said before, he's raised up the first time to be the Savior of God's people. And that was at the birth from Mary. He was raised up the second time, coming forth from the tomb, the Son of God, to be the King of kings and Lord of lords, to be their salvation and their redemption. He said, I'll give you the sure mercies of David, where he says also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. He was not in the grave over 3 days. The third day he came forth. His body did not begin to rot nor stink. Lazarus is in the grave 4 days. He stank. Christ was not there 4 days. I'm not getting into the debate of all these people arguing about what day it was on. But it was in a 3-day period. Know that. Anything that is outside of that, it cannot be true. He did not see corruption. And he says, for David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, was laid into his fathers, and saw corruption. Verse 37, and this is where we closed last time we were here. But he, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the living Word of God, who became flesh and dwelt among us, but he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, we start today. Therefore, men and brethren, you notice who he's talking to here? He's talking specifically to the nation of Israel, or what was left of it there in Judea. Be it known unto you, although not in Judea, but I'm talking about the nation of Israel. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. He's talking directly to them for a purpose. Jesus sent them to preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go ye not into the way of Samaritans or the Gentiles, but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Whosoever receiveth you, and those that would not receive them, they were to shake off the dust of their feet as they left them. They were not to insist. They were not to argue. They were not to badger. And I say that because so many in my lifetime want to follow someone around. Well, you've got to get saved. You've got to get saved. You've got to get saved. The dead shall not be saved. The dead that will be twice dead, those that are separated from God, those that are not among the elect of God, will never be saved, period. But those who received them, those who accepted them, those who heard the word of the gospel, those who loved God, those who sought God, let me make this plain. Those who were of God's elect, those who were born of God, among the lost sheep of the house of Israel, now let's go back, those who received them, their peace came upon that house. The gospel brings life and immortality to light. What do we have in this dark, sinful world in the gospel? We have peace. We have peace with God and Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, this is Paul, the time is coming, that the will of God among the Gentiles, that it's going to be manifested, that God as a people and among the Gentiles, that it's going to be manifested, that they're brought into the kingdom of God here in the world. The assembly, the church born of God is about to be made known. The mystery kept secret from the foundation of the world, but now revealed unto you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why in the world would anybody fear that? You hear people talk about revelation. That's scary. I don't want to get over there. Well, let me tell you something, brethren. It teaches us the finished work of the Son of God, in that we have great peace. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man you rejected, this man your fathers killed, this man your fathers delivered to Pilate, this man Pilate wanted to release because he found no cause of death in him, this man you insisted be killed and was laid in the tomb, this man that God raised up, through this man, Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, the Son of God, all man unto God, through this man whom you crucified, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Oh, what a strange concept to a self-righteous Jewish leader that they had sin when they justified themselves by the very law itself, which teaches us of the sinless, holiness, righteous God of heaven before whom sin cannot exist. That they were sinners. Nicodemus knew it. God had touched him. Joseph of Arimathea knew it. God had touched him. Scripture records there were others, even without being named, that knew it because God had touched them. Unto you is preached. In the law there was no preaching. They would read the law and the prophets. They would declare the righteousness of God by the law, and by that we ought to see the sin of man by the law, but we cannot in our nature until we're born of the Spirit of God. There was no preaching under the law. There was a declaration of the righteousness of God, and they sat down. But through this man is preached unto you. This is the new concept. This is a new gift. When he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive. He took away your deception. He gave gifts unto men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel. The declaration of the manifestation of God the Father through God the Son. Christ gave you preaching. He calls the ministry. He feeds them. He supplies them, in turn supplying you. And I've said this 1,000 times, and I hope I say it 1,000,000 more. Do not give the glory to the man that stands in the pulpit. That belongs to God who does the work. Any man that stands up here is a sinner. But the gift of preaching and the gift of the church came through the sinless Son of God, through this man. is preached unto you. What's preached? Life and immortality. How do we get there? Through the forgiveness of sins. Who did he save? Matthew 1:21. His people from their sins. He's given you that knowledge. And by him, remember he's talking to Israel here, God's people among them. And by him, Jesus Christ, all, such a strong little three-letter word, all, everyone who believes, whether in the womb, John the Baptist leapt in the womb. He was born of the Spirit of God in the womb. Every child of God murdered in the womb is born of God in the womb. How can I guarantee that? Because they have to be changed from the sinner that they are by birth and by conception to be made sinless before God. Therefore, they're born of God in the womb before they're destroyed and go straight to heaven in immortal glory with Christ. Don't you see the deliverance of God? My goodness, it doesn't excuse what's done. There's no excuse for sin. There's no justification for sin. But yet there is justification for sinners. Those that are God's people. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. You're justified from murders and fornications, and you're justified from thefts and idolatries. You're justified from drugs and from hatred. You're justified from every sin that's in the world that came through fallen Adam and the deception and the hatred of Satan as he tries to destroy or devour every child of God as they live and walk in this world. You may fall, but you are not taken from God. You may fall, but you're justified. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For it is God who justifies. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. Every sin from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. That was important to the Jew. We be not born of fornication, implying that Christ was, that she was not a virgin. You hear that today. Because fools talk like fools. Our father Abraham, the law of Moses, our great heroes, our father Jacob, all sinners. You could not be justified by the law God gave to Moses. You could not be justified by sinful flesh. And there were none just, no, not one. Had one man been just, Christ would not have been born in the world. But God has concluded all under sin. We're all liars. Let God be true. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Salvation is of the grace of God. It's called the election of grace. The unmerited love and favor of everyone it pleased the Father to have mercy upon and to set his love upon and to give to his Son. Grace had nothing to do with it. You want to turn people away? You want to make people stop listening to what you say? Walk into a crowd of people that are not prepared of God to hear the truth and tell them you cannot come to God unless God draws you. And watch many who, just like John 6, this is a hard saying, and they'll turn away. But the heart prepared of God understands the grace of God because God had revealed himself unto him, and therefore he sees his depravity and realizes the only way to God is in Christ, and it's all in the work of God. Whether it's a child in the womb or a man that's 110 years old, we're all sinners. We're all unable to come to God. It is by grace. Now he says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, he's talking to lost sheep. Here's the purpose, verse 40. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Sixth chapter Hebrews gives a beware to us today. To those that have once tasted the heavenly powers of God and turned away and left the church. Scripture says, by the Holy Spirit, they've trodden underfoot the Son of God. Doesn't say they're going to hell, but they certainly have misery from it. These people here, many of them God's people, I'm quite sure. He said, beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. And he references Habakkuk 1, verse 5. Behold, ye despisers. He's giving an example of what happened to the Jews when Josiah died and his son Jehoiakim ruled over them and they became so very wicked. Maybe now you should understand a little bit about why Satan uses political parties to lead God's children astray. The whole nation became wicked. And God gave them a prophecy that they would be destroyed by the Chaldeans, the Assyrians, which had conquered them and fought them for so long. We're almost gone. But there would be a new enemy. I'm sure they felt quite secure that the Assyrians, after being destroyed by the angel of God, would no longer come upon them. Satan's always got an enemy prepared for us, and God suffered them to be raised up. He gave them word of the Chaldeans, that means Babylon, same place, confusion. He was telling them in Habakkuk 1:5 about the destruction of Jehoiakim and the vessels of the house of God being taken away in the 70 years of captivity and the 70 years of desolation because of the sins of God's people. He said, behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe. Though a man declared unto you. Time out. Think about the signs God gave. God gave them the gift of tongues. People today want to claim they speak in tongues. Well, that's confusion. It's better to say five words clearly than it is to say 1,000, which cannot be understood. Tongues were assigned to the Jew, to the non-believing Jew. The Old Testament, God said, you do not believe the men I send you, and there's coming a day when I'll speak to you in another tongue, and you won't believe that either. That was the gift of tongues to the unbelieving Jew. All the gifts of raising the dead, healing the sick, we see already in the first 13 chapters of the first century church, the book of Acts. They didn't believe that either. They're still envious. They're still jealous. They're angry. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. Not eternally. If they're a child of God, they cannot perish eternally. But they can perish in this world, and we know that many of them did. In AD 70, they were raised. R-A-Z-E-D. That means totally destroyed. For I would work a work in your days while they're living. A work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. They'll tell you, but you're not going to hear. Once again, the natural Jew, not born of the Spirit of God, could not understand. It's not given to them to understand. They're left in their nature. They're left in Adam. They're left as the sinner they were born. But it's possible that a child of God's deceived. To be deceived. Satan walks about seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour you eternally. He deceives you in this world. How is it this nation that God is so richly blessed? Because people came here seeking religious freedom over 200 years ago. The church has been here since that time. Tell me how so many people are deceived into believing that murdering a child in its mother's womb is acceptable before God. They're deceived. They're led astray. It will not keep them out of heaven and immortal glory if they're gods. They'll be there. They're justified from all things. But doesn't it cause misery in this world? Read the effects of the women that have had these things and how they live with it the rest of their life and the great misery. God help them. Deceived of the devil, God help them. And living in the misery, they kill their own child. Have mercy. Behold, you despisers and wonder and perish for a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declared unto you. There was a lost sheep of the house of Israel, and they could hear, and they could be deceived, and many were. Paul is saying, beware, heed this preaching. Listen to this word. Learn of Christ. Do not be deceived. Do not be led astray. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, because that's where they were, the Gentiles, woe, besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Next Saturday, Paul, you and Barnabas, come down here to the synagogue. And when they get through reading to us the law, because they don't have the gift of preaching, teach us these words. What words? The providence of God. The living Word of God. The Godhead. The eternal purpose of God in Jesus Christ. Teach us about the church. Let us hear the gospel. Bring life and light. Immortality to light. Teach us of the Christ. Teach us of heaven and immortal glory. Explain to us this hope that is placed within us by the Spirit of God. While we rejoice with tears in our eyes. Teach us the gospel. This world became darker and darker. Sin's been here since Adam fell. But I make this point. And it goes along with what the Holy Spirit through Paul told Timothy. Seducers, deceivers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Men's hearts will wax cold because their heart is touched with a hot iron. It's callous of sin because of sin. And it's callous because of what they've seen, what they're used to, and what they're exposed to living in this world. It's callous, brethren. By their own acts and thoughts and beings. That is our nature, which we live in still as long as we live in this world and battle daily. But these people had a great joy. A great joy in hearing the gospel. As time has gone by, it seems like the joy is not here. In my short life, I can remember people yelling. I can remember people shouting. I can remember tears amongst the congregation. I can remember larger crowds. The book of Acts teaches us 3,000 added one day, 5,000 added one day. That's why we began this whole book, was to teach us how God grows the church in preaching the gospel, in manifesting the Son of God, in magnifying Christ in our body, and turning away from the world. What do we get with that? We get great joy. In seeing the church of God grow. We get great joy in the preaching of the gospel. We get great joy in fellowship with Christ. Now when a congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. I'm going to finish this week. And when next Sabbath, you come teach us this again. We want to hear this again. And the next Sabbath, Saturday, came almost the whole city. Goodness gracious. Shouts of joy. The whole city to hear the Word of God. To hear the preaching of the gospel. Not the reading of the law. The preaching of the gospel. For it saved God by the foolishness of preaching to save God. Catch this. Them that believe. You notice belief came prior to hearing the preaching of the gospel. Belief came by the Spirit of God in rebirth, in regeneration. But God saves them in this world by the preaching of the gospel. And the whole city was here. Are there not God's children in the world who need to hear the preaching of the gospel? If there are, maybe some of these things that we see so rampant about us, if it was taught, if it was shared, if it was preached. Jesus said, preach it upon the housetop. That's not talking about standing on top of the building and yelling it out like a street corner. The housetop was where they sat. It was like a great living room or a patio. Sit and talk about the Lord with God's people. It doesn't have to be just in church preaching. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, here's the old natural man and his man-made religion glorifying himself, remember? The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be as gods, little g plural, knowing good and evil. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. You go preaching grace, there's going to be someone who's going to stand and preach against it. Let me say this. Every revival that I have read about or learned about that's ever been since the time of Christ has been based upon the providence of God, predestination, election, God's work, the election of grace and Jesus Christ. When God teaches sinners, He gave life about His love and His mercy. Why do we love our parents? Why do I love my daddy? Because He loved me. Why do we love God? Because He loved me first. That's what we preach. That's what we teach, the love of God, the grace of God. But they spake against Him, blaspheming, contradicting. Years ago when I was on Facebook before I got tired of arguing with everybody and got off of it. One night there was a doctor, and I say that truthfully, a doctor, doctorate's degree in theology, down Louisiana, Mississippi, somewhere down there, some huge mega church where they preach prosperity and money, 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 money. And my youngest son, who I do not believe was even yet ordained, he began trying to pick on my son, contradicting what he said. And him being my son makes him nothing but a sinner. But the grace of God was with Joshua. And Ben was sitting back watching and laughing, and so was I, not at Josh, but at the great doctor who in all his Greek and all his Hebrew, which he could read and understand, could not contradict successfully the grace of God. And here's this young man, not yet ordained, standing in the grace of God, destroying everything this great wise fool had to say. They were the same way, because when you start preaching grace, somebody is going to contradict it. Someone who cannot let go of their flesh, someone who cannot see the righteousness of God as He is, and cannot see the depravity of man, is going to contradict. And these people were envious also. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. The Holy Spirit's in them. We need boldness. We pray for rain. We need to pray for the Spirit of God. Lord, help us. I love that prayer that Robert prayed. Lord, help us. Help Thy church. Help every church. Help all in need. Help those that have gone astray. Help those that don't know among Thy children. Help those that have been taught in error. There's nothing wrong with praying for God's people. We're supposed to pray for the church. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. That's how Christ told us to pray in the model prayer. And then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Why was it necessary? Because they were sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were not sent to fail, they succeeded. Every one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I believe in my heart, was brought to where at least a point where they're born of God and know Christ. Because we have to in order to please God. We may walk through this world and never show a bit of repentance to anyone that is they're able to see it, but we cannot see the heart. Let me tell you, everyone born of the God, born of the Spirit of God, is changed in such a way that God sees the change. God sets the mark. They're saved in His sight, for He sees the heart. The heart is desperately wicked, and He changes it Himself. Unto you first, Acts 3, verse 26. Well, let me back up, because he's talking to Israel here. He says, "You are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed, Christ, shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first," Peter saying, "God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you." That's an individual. "Turning away every one of you from your iniquities." Can you not see plainly over and over and over and over again that repentance comes from God? Can you not see they were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? That's why they're saying now the time has come that God is manifesting the mystery kept secret from the foundation of the world, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the saints of God in the kingdom of God. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, you put it away. What Jesus say about the Jews? "How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but ye would not." What did He say in Exodus 32 toward the end of the chapter because of their great sin? When Moses went up into the mountain, "The day that I will visit this sin upon them," the day of their visitation, that was the day of their visitation. They put God away from them and they suffered that price. It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, didn't say they were, didn't say they wasn't, said they judged themselves unworthy of it because they refused to hear of Christ. And Paul says, "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Now I wanted to go over and spend some time on something, but I'm not going to spend too much. But I do want to get my point. I've been telling you for some time this was not an act of desperation where the Lord God, because His people fell, because they had all turned into sinners, because they had failed God and would not accept God, wouldn't receive God, and wouldn't love God, that God turned to the Gentiles. That's the kind of lie you hear from Satan and the world, which denies the providence of Almighty God. Salvation is of the Lord. I'm going to give you two texts that teach you that this was known far before the time that the Gentiles would even know that they were children of God. Isaiah 42, remember there's no Israel at this time, it's just Judea, and they're heavily afflicted by the Assyrians. Isaiah 42, God said, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold," He's speaking about Christ. "Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him." You see him there being baptized, and the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. Catch this point. "He shall bring forth judgment, the rule of God," where? To the Gentiles. Way before the Gentiles ever knew God. They were without God in the world. God is prophesying of Christ bringing salvation to the Gentiles. You can read those first seven verses and see the power of God. Verse 6, "I the Lord have called thee in righteousness," speaking of Christ, "and I will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light." You can see now, turn the light on, "for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, that's the prison house of darkness, because God gives us a light, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Isaiah 49. He's talking of Jacob and he's talking of Israel. I want to get down to this point. First, I want to make a point of verse 2. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. This is Christ. Men today talk about weapons. They talk about nuclear weapons and all these silly things. I've heard, I say silly things because I've heard people actually say, well, what are we going to do if the Lord comes back and we think he's an enemy and we shoot missiles at him? My goodness, people, what is your view of God? This world and Satan has led so many astray to worship a God that is weak and has to have help that we could delay his coming or destroy him. God forbid. God created and only God is eternal. But he's talking about the weapon, the greatest weapon that's ever been, and that is Christ. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, it made me a polished shelf. As a quiver in his hand hath he hid me. Now get down to verse 6. Speaking of Christ. It is a light thing. It's a light thing. It's not hard to God. It is a light thing that thou shouldest be. Who's my servant? Mine elect. Christ. Isaiah 42. To raise up the tribes of Jacob. That's the elect of God. Remember, the tribes of Jacob at the time this were written had intermingled with the Assyrians and were no more. But Christ is going to raise up the preserved of Israel. The preserved. You catch that? Those preserved in Christ, the elect of God, everyone God gave him. Spiritual Israel. He's going to raise them up. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Two places. Two places where this was known. Just two. That's enough. There are others. Back to Acts. But seeing you put it from you, the preaching of the gospel, speaking to the Jews, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. This is the providence of God from before the world was created. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, this is Paul, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. What did he say? Paul was going to bear light to the Gentiles. How did he do it? In Christ. What did he preach? Jesus Christ, the light of God. And when the Gentiles, for I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. The four corners of the earth, whereby the preaching of the gospel, God would call and gather those he had given life into the assembly of the saints. And I said this twice, I'm in other places, I'm going to say it again here today. It is our duty when we are born of God to be baptized and join the church and crucify ourselves daily. That is why we have salvation. That's why we have a church to serve God for which we were created. Now, this is being taught to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation and the end of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word, the preaching of the gospel of the Lord. Christ is the gospel. Christ is our life. We preach Christ and him crucified. He is life and immortality. And he brings it to light. Just as he quickens whom he will. Now this part I like. This ought to dispute every lie that any man preaches anywhere today that belittles God, that says you've got to do this or you've got to do that. Yes, you do have some things you have to do. You ought to be baptized. You ought to come into church. You ought to battle yourself daily trying to serve God. Yes, you're going to fall. Yes, you're going to stumble. That's the nature of our flesh. But yes, God will pick us up, for God will give us repentance, and God will never leave us, and God will never forsake us. But this part of believing and salvation is purely the work of God. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. I can remember first beginning to understand the gospel. Brother Hand would get up here and preach, and I did not know what all he said. But when I began to understand grace, and I began to understand Christ, and I began to understand that God loved me, and I was a vile sinner, even at the young age that I was as a teenager, I was glad. I was happy. I was overjoyed. Would to God I could return to that. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, nor can he, for he is spiritually discerned. Only those ordained of God from before the foundation of the world can believe, and they each and every one willly believe. They will believe at some point between conception and death when God gives them life and writes His law upon their inner heart, and they know Christ. John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb. He was born of the Spirit of God. When Mary came up carrying our Lord in her womb, he leapt for joy. In the womb, not yet born in this sinful world. We go to the other extreme at the crucifixion, the thief who was there railing against the Christ. Railing against the Christ. Certainly, in the eyes of man, condemned to hell to burn in the everlasting lake of fire. But there was a change. There wasn't a preacher. There wasn't a Sunday school. There wasn't a choir. Wasn't a dollar bill. Benny Hinn. There was nobody but the Lord. And that's the only one can do it. Because there was a change. Lord, remember me. Look at me in mercy. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what did Christ say? Verily, truly, I say unto thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Every chosen child of God will believe, because believing and knowing is part of being changed from the sinful condition we are. It's the work of God. It's the birth of the Spirit. It's regeneration. It's all of the Lord. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. All these Gentiles touched of the Spirit of God, rejoicing. But the Jews, here goes the self-righteous again, stirred up the devout and honorable women. You can't just blame it on them. And the chief men of the city, because they were there together. All these big people. All these big leaders. All these people with power and understanding. Probably most of it in the Jews' religion. And they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Oh, that was over. That's it. It's finished. No. 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 The word of God increased. Period. As far as Paul and Barnabas, they shook off the dust of their feet. You reject the Lord, we reject you. And that's what the Lord told us to do. Why does He say in Revelation, let him that is just be just, and let him that is wicked be wicked? We cannot change anybody. God is the only one who can take death and make it live. We are to preach to the living. Let the dead be dead. Let the living live. Teach the living. God works that way. follow the Spirit of God. Preach, teach. Mothers, teach your children. Fathers, teach your son. Sit on your housetop, your den, your patio. Talk about the Lord. Glorify God. Barry Cornish said something many years ago. Andy Moore was in BMC when it was there about to die. There was about 60 people up there praying for him. Barry said, look at how God is glorified. All his people talking about him. All his people praying for this one man. And he was delivered temporally for a while. The fact is, they're all talking about the Lord. They were all praying to the Lord. And God was glorified. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy. And with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I'll watch an old show and I'll see some hard man. Usually he's playing a... And this is, I guess, funny, but it's not meant to be. But I'll see a show where someone is a law enforcement officer back in the old West or something. They're hard, they're mean, they're coarse, they're bitter. And I'll see them help somebody, and it'll just hit me of the grace of God and what God does to people and how God changes people. And it puts tears of joy in my heart. They were filled with joy. These people who had not known God were filled with joy. That is the purpose of preaching the gospel. First and foremost is to glorify God. And secondly, the great joy that we have in the gospel is God's people.